Wednesday night, we had talked about trials. And there's a couple of scriptures that I really wanted to encourage you guys with in regards to trials. We're not speaking about trials this morning, but I think the Lord just laid these scriptures on my heart, hopefully for somebody in here. When we spoke about trials Wednesday night, there were three main points to it. The first point was, we can't get away from them. So we're just going to basically have to endure them. And the second point was, why should we endure our trials well? A lot of people don't endure their trials well, but we should. And then the third point was, how do we actually endure them? And the main point of how we endure them is we worship the Lord through them, because that keeps our eyes off of the circumstances at the time, and it puts our eyes up heavenward on a God who can take care of all the situations in life. And if He's allowing us to go through something at this point, He's got a good purpose for it, and we need to trust Him. And two scriptures I wanted to share in regards to that was in Psalm 42, verses 5 through 6, it says this, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you." And I love the psalmist's tenacity. Very difficult time. His heart was disturbed within him. He's, why are you disturbed? The Lord's on the throne. He's in control. But sometimes you know that, but still you're inside. You're just going crazy still. And you need to encourage yourself. Just keep worshiping the Lord. He's got a plan. And then, I really love this passage in Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. He writes and says, "I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The Sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes me feel like, or He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights." And if you want to soar through the heavens in your life, you and I really need to learn to worship God, because that will keep you on the up and up. Even though you may have the feelings inside, you're still focused up. So, today's message, it's entitled, "What Are We Doing With This Light?" In other words, today we are experiencing daylight saving time. We've got an extra hour of light. And I love it, because I like it as it gets later and later and later and the light is still up. I remember when we went to Russia a few years ago, we experienced the sun finally going down at about 11:45 p.m. and then rising at about 3:15 a.m. And you may wonder how I knew that. Well, I was awake at those times. For some odd reason, I couldn't sleep in my normal hours, and it was just awesome. I was awake. The light was a wonderful thing to have that long. Now, if I lived there, it might be a hard thing, because I know if you go without sleep too much, it can actually kill you and cause lots and lots of hardship in your body. But nonetheless, it was a neat thing, and we got a lot done in all those daylight hours. I don't know if you know where we got daylight saving time, but this is how it occurred. First off, the main reason daylight saving time was initiated was for war times and other major crises throughout the world. The chief purpose of the daylight saving time was to save energy by reducing evening use of lighting by adding an extra hour of daylight. In the 1970s, there was a shortage of Arab oil. And so, to conserve energy, Congress initiated daylight saving time. It was instituted back then from January 6th to October 27th in 1974. And in February, it was on the 23rd day to October 26th in 1975. So it's kind of interesting. You can experience daylight saving time whenever the government wants you to experience it. But, of course, it was brought along so people wouldn't have to spend as much money on fuels to light their house so that the money could be conserved and used for wartime or other crisis. In 1987, that's when it started on the first Sunday of April and then began to end on the last Sunday in October. Daylight saving time is a time for us to get, if you will, unlazified and motivated after a long winter and get more done due to the extra hour of light. Benjamin Franklin favored daylight saving time greatly. He says that it struck him as very silly and wasteful that people should live much by candlelight and sleep by sunshine. And boy, did he prove his utilization of the light. Benjamin Franklin is a man that I admire greatly, for he learned definitely the art of utilizing the extra time of light God has given us. He was a man who got a lot done in his lifetime. And I want to share just some of the things Benjamin Franklin did in his lifetime. And this is really a small list of the things that he got done with the extra light, if you will. Thomas Jefferson hailed him as the greatest man and ornament of the age and country in which he lived. A French statesman, and I'm afraid to say his name because I never took French. So it's like Comte or Comte de Mirabeau or something like that. He referred to Franklin as the sage or a very wise man with two worlds claimed as their own, or whom two worlds claimed as their own. In other words, so many people honored this man for all the things he did. Benjamin Franklin was the 15th child of 17, and he was the youngest boy. He was taken out of school just after 2 years at the age of 10. But as a boy, he taught himself the basic principles of algebra, geometry, navigation, grammar, logic, and the natural and physical sciences. He studied and partially mastered French, German, Italian, Spanish, and Latin. Franklin made himself one of the best educated persons of his time. He believed that successful people had to work just a little harder than any of their competitors. As one of his neighbors said, "The industry of that Franklin is superior to anything I've ever seen." As one of his neighbors, he continued to say, "I see him still at work when I go home from the club, and he is at work again before his neighbors are out of bed." Some of the sayings of Benjamin Franklin include, "Early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise." And one of the more famous ones that we in the church know, "God helps them that help themselves." And it's usually one that church members can't stand. And the reason being is because they apply that towards salvation. And no, we can't help ourselves with salvation. All we can do is receive what the Lord has done for us. But at the same time, God does help those who help themselves. For instance, birds, do they wait for worms to crawl up the tree and into their nest so that they can have a feast? No, they don't. They got to go out there and fly around and look for them. But there's the Lord to guide them to their food, but they still have to do some work. Another one of his quotes was, "Little strokes fell great oaks. Fire losses in Philadelphia were alarmingly high, so Franklin organized a fire department, and he did this at the age of 30. And if you looked at the list of things that he accomplished before he was 30, it's just amazing. And then he kept on going into his 80s nonstop and finally died at 84. The guy was just amazing. So he organized a fire department, and he reformed the city police when he saw that criminals were getting away without punishment. City streets were unpaved, dirty, and dark, so he started a program to pave, clean, and light them. Philadelphia shamelessly neglected the sick and insane during Franklin's time. He raised money to help build a city hospital, the Pennsylvania Hospital. Philadelphia had no school for higher education, so Franklin helped found the academy that grew into the University of Pennsylvania. As a result of projects such as these, Philadelphia became the most advanced city in the 13 colonies. Franklin invented the lightning rod, and it demonstrated his saying that an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And then here's a really funny one that I like a lot. Franklin's experiments with electricity involved some personal risk. He knocked himself unconscious at least once. He had been trying to kill a turkey with an electric shock, but something went wrong, and Franklin, not the bird, was stunned. Franklin later said, "I meant to kill a turkey, and instead I nearly killed a goose." At least he was trying. Franklin discovered that disease flourishes in poorly ventilated rooms. Franklin also showed Americans how to improve acid soil by using lime. He refused to patent any of his inventions or to use them for profit. He preferred to have them used freely as his contribution to the comfort and convenience of everyone. The first successful balloon flight took place in 1783 during Franklin's stay in Paris. And many bystanders scoff at it, at the new device, and they ask, "What good is it?" And Franklin retorted, "What good is a newborn baby? You don't know until they..."